Today we're going to be continuing our series on rebuilding the walls. For rebuilding the walls, the 2011 vision for Hayes Christian Church, it can be summed up in one statement. Strengthening our church family so we can help strengthen yours. And that's your first blank if you're playing along the home game in your bulletin there. Strengthening our church family so we can help strengthen yours. Everything we do as a church, everything we do as a body of believers is not so much to benefit ourselves, but it is to benefit those around us and to really be a witness in the community for the sake of the gospel of Jesus Christ. What is it that we do from week to week to help strengthen other people? We learn the truths of God's word through the sermons in Sunday school and through your private reading during the week. But how are we using it? How are we using it to benefit other people, to share the love and grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ with those around us? In our James series, what was our cheer? Remember? Action, action, we want action. And that's exactly what we're looking for now, is we're taking it to the next step. So we learn what we need to be doing, and then we put it into action. Are we really putting it into practice, what we learn? Are we putting it into practice, the things that we learn from the Sunday school classes, from our readings, from our time alone with God? Rebuilding the Walls 2011 has five specific goals. And I promise you, by the end of this year, you will know all the five of these things, and you will know the statement that I said at the beginning, because you're going to hear it over and over again, and you're going to be like, Kevin, really? Get a grip here, man. And I'll say, but you remembered it. Just like we did action, action, we want action every week, you'll remember these things. So who can remember what the G is for gate? Get into family groups. That's right. The G is get into family groups. And the family groups, that's going to be the main topic of the sermon today. So we're going to skip over that. And who can remember what the A is? Attend church. Attend church. We want to take responsibility for bringing our friends and our families, our neighbors, to church. We want to see more people in church. And why do we want to see more people in church? Because we want to be able to expose more and more people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. What's the T of gate? Remember? Christian? Testimonial? No. What? Thessalonians? No. No, not to be baptized. It's togetherness. Togetherness. We want to see people come together and become members of this church, identifying with our mission, identifying with our vision. And the E is? Enter the water of baptism. Enter the water of baptism. So you have G, which is get into family groups. A is attend church. T is togetherness, become members of the church, joining with us in our vision to reach more people. And E is enter the water of baptism. Follow the Lord into the water of baptism. So our financial goals, I have those listed on your sheet. Remember, we said that missions giving would be going up 20%. We are looking to hire an associate pastor who would focus on music to help us with our worship music and our services. We want to upgrade some of our worship technology. That's the third area. And the fourth area is to get an administrative assistant to help keep me organized. Which is, yeah, good luck with that one. But what? It'll be 12 this year. She could. Moving right along. So these are the financial goals. And what did we say the financial goals would take? It would take $18 per family group per week for 2011. And we would reach these massive goals by the end of the year. Now, what are these vision? What is this vision? What are these ideas? These are not small goals. These are not small things. These are God-sized visions. This is a God-sized vision. When this is complete, we will not be able to stand back and say, good job, everybody. We did it. Because we cannot do it. But God can. Remember that we talked about Nehemiah. Nehemiah's goal was to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. And how long did it take him to do that impossible task? 52 days. 52 days he was able to do the impossible. We will be able to do the impossible only when God blesses it, only when we follow Him in obedience. And the first area that we're focusing on is get into family groups. So the first part is family. When I say the word family, what pops into your head?
Mom.
Okay, church family?
Mom.
Mom? Wife and kids? What? Your relations? Aunts, uncles? Blood relations?
People?
Anything else? Family of God? Animals? Okay. Now, we probably have some positive things about family that we think of, and we probably have some not so positive things about family that we think of. And then there's a lot of neutral things. But hopefully in these family groups, you will be able to have positive experience with the family groups. Positive experiences through the family groups. The family groups that we're developing will have probably around 8 to 12 people in them. And we'll talk a little bit about why that is. First off, you can worship very easily in a large group. In this group, we come and we worship every Sunday. But it's very difficult for us to have true fellowship and true intimate relationships when we see each other for 2 hours a week. It's hard for us to intimately have a conversation with each person on Sunday morning. It's virtually impossible. And when you have these groups, hopefully, that'll be a time where you can develop those relationships and build those relationships. Jesus had 12 disciples. He had 12 disciples. So we're looking at a maximum of 12 people in your family groups. So why have family groups? First, let's look on your outline to Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47. Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47 says, "All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved." What were they dedicating themselves to? They were devoted to teaching, fellowship, sharing in meals. Let's move that one up a little higher on the list, shall we? Sharing in the Lord's Supper, prayer. They met together. They shared with what they had. They gave to those in need. They worshiped at the temple. They met in homes, which is our family groups, where family groups come in. They had the Lord's Supper. And look at, even Luke, when he's writing this, put in shared meals twice. I'm not the only one who's thinking about food. They were joyful. They were generous. And they praised God throughout. And what did the Lord do when they were doing these things? Remember, this is right after Peter preached his Pentecost sermon. And 3,000 people came to know the Lord at this sermon. And the very next thing that he says is what we just read. Do these things. Devote yourself to these things. And what happened? The Lord added to their fellowship each day. These things that we talk about in this passage, these can be done in large groups. But when you get into a smaller group, when you get to know someone intimately, these things are so much more impactful in our lives. Now, we went through a study called The Purpose-Driven Life quite some time ago. And we talked about being formed for God's family. And Ephesians 1:5 on your outline said, "God decided in advance to adopt us into His own family by bringing us to Himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. We have all been adopted by Christ, adopted by God into his family. And Scripture refers to our spiritual family, which is the church, as the body of Christ. As a body of Christ, we share with one another. We love each other. We spend time with one another. As Christ followers, I think this is on your outline. As Christ followers, we are commanded to love one another, pray for and with one another, encourage one another, admonish one another, greet one another, submit to one another, serve one another, teach one another, accept one another, honor one another, bear one another's burdens, forgive one another, and be devoted to one another. Galatians 6:10 says, when we have the opportunity to help anyone, we should do it. But we should give special attention to those who are in the family of believers. Share each other's burdens, Galatians says. And 1 Corinthians said, if one part of the body suffers, all the other parts suffer with it. Or if one part of our body is honored, then all the other parts share in its honor. Underline the word share. Because being part of the body of Christ involves sharing. Sharing our good times and sharing those times that are tough. 1 John 3:16 says, we have come to know love by this, that Jesus laid his life down for us. Thus we ought to lay down our lives for our fellow Christians. Family groups are not only for us, though. Because what is our statement of vision? Strengthening our church family so we can help strengthen yours. It's not all about us. And our family groups are a testimony to others. The family groups are a testimony to others. We don't build these bonds for ourselves and our own benefit. We build them for the sake of the kingdom of God. We build them for the sake of the gospel. Because we are strengthening our church family so we can help strengthen yours. John 13:35 says, this is how everyone will recognize that you are my disciples, when they see the love you have for one another. How will we be recognized as God's disciples, as Jesus' disciples? Because people will see how we treat one another and how we treat other people. Authentic community is different than just a casual hi to someone. And the genuineness that we have for one another in these family groups will attract. Real, genuine fellowship attracts people. In this age of screen-to-screen contact, people are searching and seeking for something more than a keyboard and mouse, more than a text message, more than an email. More than a tweet, more than Facebook. People seek that, more than that. In true fellowship, in these true family groups, if this accomplishes what we are seeking for, we will hopefully experience authenticity, heart-to-heart sharing, honesty, and humility. This is in contrast to what the world offers, which is often pretending, role-playing, politicking, superficial politeness, and shallow conversation. Now, if you're fine with those things, the things that are fluff, the small talk, then don't get in a family group. Because these family groups are not designed for small talk. They are designed to build true, genuine relationships with one another by building our relationship with Christ. Now, is it going to be easy to do this? No. Is it going to be easy to put your trust in people? It's not. It takes time. But real fellowship is experiencing life together. It takes time. It takes patience. It takes endurance. And it doesn't happen overnight. In the book It, which we've been referencing a little bit, he calls it refrigerator rights. Refrigerator rights, if you have refrigerator rights, that means when you go to that person's house, you can go into the refrigerator and get whatever you want without asking. Some of you are really excited at that possibility, aren't you? When are you coming to my house? Come on over. We're watching the game after church. How many people in your life have refrigerator rights? Now, some people think they have refrigerator rights. But think about it. For whatever reason in our culture, the refrigerator is sacred. I mean, you just don't go in people's refrigerators. Why is that? I have no idea. I mean, I don't know. Do you inventory your Diet Coke? Now I will say the fridge back here, people have plenty of refrigerator rights here because I put pop in there and it's always gone. But when you're at your home, yeah, you're welcome. Yeah. Glad I could supply that for you. But how many of you have refrigerator rights? Or how many of you give refrigerator rights? That is a sign of intimacy to some degree. When you go to your family group's meeting place, hopefully you will get to the point where you have refrigerator rights. You don't... Okay, well, if you go to Laura's house, nobody has refrigerator rights. Looking back at Acts 2, the people, the Christians, were devoted to God's Word. They were devoted to spending time together and devoted to spending time with each other. Because of their commitment to one another, everyone was blown away by what God was doing. They were so generous with one another that eventually no one had need because they cared for one another. Can you imagine a family group that this could be taking place? Where you're taking care of one another's need, where you're giving one another refrigerator rights. They spent time together in their home. They had the refrigerator rights. And people were being saved. How often in Acts 2? Every day. Every day people were being saved because these followers of Christ were living authentic lives. And these are the simple goals for your family groups. The specifics about your family group, as I already said, you'll have 8 to 12 people, maybe less. You'll meet 2 times a month. Meeting every week was just not feasible. With the schedules that people keep, and so we cut it back to 2 times a month. Because it takes time and commitment. You're going to be meeting at different places with your family group, and you'll have freedom to study the topics that your group feels that they want to study. But in order for this to work, we have to be intentional about the time we spend with our family groups. We have to be intentional about the relationships that we have with God and the relationships that we have with one another. We are to be interdependent upon one another as Christians. That is being dependent on ultimately God and our church family. How many times can you think of situations in your life that you just thought, throw your hands up in the air, how am I going to get through it? And who was there for you? Hopefully it was your Christian brothers and sisters. It's been said that God won't give you more than you can handle. But I disagree with that. God doesn't give you more than you can handle together with your church family. We have been created for relationships, and those relationships are eternal. The church is eternal. Your church family will be with you for eternity. So doesn't it make sense then that we would spend time getting to know one another so that we can develop that love and that intimacy and that caring for one another? We just can't do that in 2 hours a week on Sunday morning with 60 people. It's just not possible. And as we grow as a church, it's going to be even more important that we have these family groups to have connection with one another. Because I cannot talk to every single person in depth on Sunday mornings. I really wish that I could. But it just doesn't happen. We have 15 minutes in between service. And 5 minutes of that, I'm praying with the worship team. And then Bubba goes over by 5 minutes. Then I have 5 minutes. I can't see everybody. I wish that I did. I wish we could have an hour in between. But then you all would be like, I don't know. I'd be bored too, maybe. I don't know. But we have to be intentional. We have to set aside those times to build the relationships that will last for eternity. So what is G of Gate? Get into a family group. I encourage you all to be a member of a family group. The first session is going to go from February to May. So you have 4 months, 2 times a month. So you're committing to 8 meetings with your family group. I encourage you all to take the time to really invest in your family groups. Is 8 meetings, 8 times enough to develop the type of trust and genuine intimate relationships that we would like to see happen? No, of course not. Some of these things take a lifetime to develop. And some of you that have been in the church, in this church, for a long time have developed those relationships. You have your family groups, whether you call them family groups or not, you have those relationships. But we want to make sure that we are providing that opportunity for all of us to develop the relationships and the friendships that can be made through these family groups. Rebuilding the walls. Strengthening our church family so we can help strengthen yours. And I want you to be thinking about this week, how can you develop those relationships? And how are you going to be influencing others this week? The event is coming up on Friday. Have you invited people to the event? Are you coming to the event? Are you excited about the event? Hopefully you are. Are you coming to Phoebians on Wednesday? Have you invited someone to come with you to Phoebians that maybe has never come or maybe who doesn't even go to this church? Have you invited someone to come to Sunday school, to come to worship? These are the things that we need to be thinking about because we are strengthening our church family so that we can help strengthen yours.